Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Jesus does change everything. He really does. Mark chapter 5. In this series, we're looking at moments of how Jesus comes upon a situation, and when he comes, over and over and over, things change. Throughout the Gospels, we repeatedly see the pattern that Jesus comes and what was impossible all of a sudden becomes possible. Water to wine is what we looked at. But you'll see blind eyes open, storms stop, the dead rise. The demonized are set free. Are you all there in the book of Mark? Chapter 5. Would you stand with me for 17 verses of scripture? New King James. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Here we go. Then they came to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. When they had come out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him. Would you say that with me? And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we're many." Also, he begged him. I love how demons beg. Is anybody else like that besides me? He begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Another version says the territory. It's a profound verse. Verse 11. Now a large herd of swine were feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So he who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, who had the legion, sitting clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told him how it happened to him and how he was demon-possessed and about the swine. And they pleaded with him to depart from the region. Let's pray. Father, move in great power this morning. Let us never be the same as we understand you change everything. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, God changes everything. And you may be seated. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 on my screen. Let me read this to you because it's very important. Very important for you to understand this. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. What you see in Mark 5 is not merely a little story where somebody gets set free, but you literally see light and dark, and you see light set the man free. Jesus is light. God is light. It's an encounter with God that changes him. I've heard over and over, especially on Friday, and I think Brother Dwayne just said it again. You have an encounter with God. One encounter with God changes things. And that's what happened to this man. He was radically changed. I like the amplified version of Ephesians 6:12. I'll read it to you. If it's too loud, it's because it's amplified. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or spiritual, the spiritual sphere. This is such a powerful moment. Now, the power encounter here begins before they ever come to the shore. The power encounter begins before that. If you look at Mark 4, there's a storm. Some storms are from God, like Jonah. Then some storms are clearly from the devil. Jesus rebukes the devil. Peace be still, rebukes the storms, and the storm stop. It's not merely a meteorological moment. It's a demonic resistance to Jesus entering into the region. Whether you realize it or not, the enemy doesn't want you to hear what I'm about to preach to you. Whether you realize it or not, what's taking place here this morning in this church is the most important meeting, and not just this church, any church that's preaching the gospel. It's the most important meeting all day, all week long. And God's power is put on display when the gospel is preached. And so you see this resistance to Jesus coming. The kingdom of God is released here. The devastation of a demonized life is seen. The devastation of a demonized life. Say it. The devastation of a demonized life. That's this young man. His life is demonized. And you see it. He lives in the tombs. You know what the tombs are? It's a graveyard. Listen, if you're living in a graveyard, it's probably something wrong. So he lives in the tombs. He hangs out with dead things, dead people. People who are dead, tombs. Living among them, you look at Numbers 19 and other places, you'd be ritually unclean. Spiritually and socially cut off. And that's where he lived. John chapter 10 and verse 10, it's a gospel in one verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life to the full. That's the gospel in one verse. That's what the devil wants to do. If you've got theft, death, and a repeated cycle of abuse, it's a picture of the curse. It's a picture of demonic activity. Let me say this, and I don't know if you can put it on my screen, but try. People who are always thinking of death and violence are under the influence of demonic power. You say, that's a pretty strong blanket statement. It is. I'm going to say it again. People who are always thinking of death and always thinking of violence are under demonic influence. He said, Pastor, I have some of that in my mind. Well, then you ought to check yourself this morning. Because that's the case with this, living among the tombs, identity shaped by death, isolated from people. He had no restraint. What do you mean he had no restraint? I mean, he couldn't control himself. It's a picture of rebellion. It's a picture of hedonism. He had no restraint. I know some people that don't have restraint. If you don't have restraint, you know, you got to learn to control yourself. If you don't, you're going to have somebody else controlling you. He had no restraint, a picture of rebellion. You'll see in the text that religion and human efforts were powerless. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians 2. Mark says chains were placed on him. People tried to control him, tried to manage him. Religion and tradition, the philosophies of this world, will not fix you. Come on, let's read this, Colossians 2 and 8. Beware, everybody say beware, beware, lest anyone cheat you, rob from you, rip you off. Beware that you don't get ripped off through philosophy. Philosophy, let me define that. The way I see it is, that's what people that philosophize, is that a word? philosophers say, here's how I perceive that. Listen, it doesn't matter how you perceive it. Your perception could be wrong. You need to build your life on God's word, not philosophy. Don't let anyone rip you off, cheat you, rob from you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Leave the scripture up. They did everything they could to help this boy. It's not that they didn't care. It's that they didn't have the power to do it. You can't teach demons. In fact, I guess I'm going to go there for a second. In the process of deliverance, there's a thing called the pretense phase. The pretense phase is when that demonic bondage is so meshed in a person's life that they feel as though it's a part of their identity. It's called the pretense phase, figuring out which actually is something that's demonic and which actually is a part of who you are as a person. And many people have just adopted to say, that's part of my personality, your spirit of rage that you have. I'm like that. I have a hot temper. No, you're demonized. I know I'm just no one here. Just bump your neighbor and say, I don't know who he's talking to, but it's just it's not me. Colossians 2:8 in the Amplified Version is also just a powerful thing to read. It's the teachings of Christ. Colossians 2:8. Put it back up for me, please. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See, it's philosophy, human reasoning, tradition, religious systems created by people will never, ever change anything at the core level. The text says that they tried to tame him. Think about that. Tame. You could tame a lion, maybe. What are you doing when you tame a lion? Think about how many of you have seen lions, in circuses? How many of you know occasionally people get mauled? It's horrible. Something went wrong. You know why? There's a wild beast inside that thing that you think you tamed. You know what the enemy wants you to do? The enemy wants you to be dumbed down to a little religious person, obeying a set of little rules, obeying a little philosophy, and covering over. It's really a picture to tame, is to cover over the nature of somebody. Listen, if you have a demonic bondage, don't try to tame that thing. Get delivered. I got one amen from the front row from my very dear friend, Wally. Can I get another one? Amen. No one can tame him. It's an attempt to control, techniques to try to overcome instead of getting the root of the problem. Aren't you glad you came to church today? The demonized tend to hang out with others that are demonized. Well, where did you get that? A corollary text. There's another text in Matthew 8, verse 28 to 34. There's two demonized men, not one. You say, why is that? The Gospels are told, the book of Mark is told in the stories of Peter. Matthew was there. So sometimes there's a difference in perspective, like you would see things differently perhaps than somebody else. When you get a composite picture of it, and it certainly is true that demonized people like to hang out with other people that are demonized. You'll see him, he's naked. Being naked is a picture of sexual perversion and corruption. It's an attempt on behalf of the enemy to pornify a whole culture. Demonize a whole society. It used to be you had to go down and buy a magazine. Now, people have these devices and it's pushed everywhere. Recent studies say that pornography affects the brain just like drugs. Nakedness is a picture also of moral disorder. So the enemy uses sexual corruption to defile, to destroy. And what begins as pleasure outside of the covenant that God has provided for, which is marriage, what begins as pleasure takes people deep into bondage. There's a lot here. You see this self-destruction. He's cutting himself with stones. Do you know that there's a whole group, maybe here, and I don't want to demean you, but if you're cutting yourself, he said, I would never do that. No, you might not ever, but there's a whole generation, and counselors call them cutters, people that cut themselves. Now, what is that about, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's demonic. It's clearly demonic. And we've had people that have been set free from cutting them. Why would someone cut themselves? An interesting question. I have never been a cutter, nor will I ever be. So I was curious, and in the process of helping somebody get set free, I asked them, why is it that you do that? And they said, well, I don't know. Well, if you get past the I don't know, you get to this. You get to the place where nearly all of them who I've helped get set free say this: I cut myself because when I feel the pain of cutting my own skin, and many people do it on their legs, they'll wear pants all the time. Listen, if your child has got sleeves on all the time and you will not been able to see their arm, I would highly advise you do that. You say, are you telling me my child's a cutter? I don't know that they're not. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. I'm trying to help you. And they say that when I cut myself, Pastor, I don't feel the pain that's in my heart. I feel the pain that I'm making. And it's better than the torment that's in my heart. What a sad story. And it's all over. All over. So they don't feel the pain of rejection, the pain of that date. It didn't work out well. Left them shattered. I know it's an intense message, but our culture is filled with this. And if you don't hear it here, you want to tell me where you're going to hear it from some philosopher? You don't want to hear it from you. You want to hear it in God's word. Jesus comes to change everything, and he sets people free. And there are people that are demonically bound, possibly even here this morning online. And I'm telling you, he wants to set you free. The enemy turns people against themselves. It's a manifestation of deep internal torment. The enemy whispers, you're worthless. But Jesus declares, you're priceless. He says you're worthless, the enemy says, but Jesus says you're priceless. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, bro, you're priceless. Come on. Come on, tell your other neighbor, say, you're priceless. If we don't have a revival, if we don't have an awakening, we are going to be washed away in demonic teaching, doctrines of demons, and a destruction. But we are having one. We are having an awakening. I believe America is being awakened. I believe the nations are turning to God. I believe that. I said it before, but from 2019 to 2024, more people have come to Christ than in recorded times prior to that. 33 million more Americans came to Jesus between 2019 and 2024. 33 million more Americans, and most of them are young adults. They're sick of digital alienation. They want God. They want the real thing. They don't want to be cutting. They don't want to be drugging. They don't want to be isolated. They want God. They want the real thing. And he's the real thing. Jesus. When he comes, he changes everything. And we're going to have an awakening, a revival. That's why we have so many services. I had somebody say, you have too many services. Really? Just pick one. If you want to come to one, that's great. We're going to keep having as many services as we have, and we're going to add more. We just fill them up and just keep adding more. Why? Because of this, because of a mandate to preach and teach Jesus Christ crucified, to see the captive set free. Can you say amen in the house of God? All right. A little excited. Let's turn to I'm just kidding. You'll see that Jesus asked him his name. And some have used this as a theological key to setting people free, that you have to have the name of the demon. Let me just destroy that and say demons lie. So even if you did get its name, that could be lying. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know its name any more than somebody tried to get in your house, you know their name. I don't have to know anybody's name who's trying to get in my house. I love Willie Robertson. His father answers the door with his Under Armour, whatever it was, and an AR. And he says, "What's your story, son?" You don't know what his name is. What's your story? Listen, God wants to set people free, and it doesn't matter whether you know what the demon's name is, but in this case, Legion, and it represents 6,000 demons. And it's not so much that there's that many demons in the guy, that could be true. It's just there's an overwhelming amount of difficulty and problems. It's also a picture of a complexity of demonic bondage there. There is the reality of curses and bloodlines and on and on and on, but Jesus changes everything. Can you say amen? All right, how Jesus changes everything. Well, you'll notice in verse 7 that he's known by the demons. I mean, his disciples don't even hardly know where he is, but he gets out of the boat and they're like, "Ah, it's you." Demons are afraid. He's known by the demons. You'll see in verse 10 that Jesus has all authority. And as they're allowed, now there is a whole thing about territorial demons. I've talked about it before. I talked about spiritual mapping before. You're like, "What? This is like my first time in church. I hardly even know who Jesus is." I'm going to make that plain. But at the same time, there's people who've been in church for years. And this spiritual mapping and understanding spiritual warfare, it's a real thing. It's not passe. It's real. It was taught in the 80s and the 90s, and then it just sort of went out. And now most churches have TED Talks that don't teach the word at all. You have authority. You have authority. Come on, say, "I've got authority. I have authority in the name of Jesus." I remember years ago, I went up the side of Mo'o on Molokai, and Mo'o is a demon god that is worshipped and fed by some of the people there. And by the way, the families that support and feed that demon god on that part of the island of Molokai, there is more torment and anguish and deformity. I mean, all kinds of problems in those families, and yet they still do it. I remember running up, I had a dream without going into the whole thing. I was running up the dream and I had dog running up the mountain on the back of Mo'o, and I was going to stab it with a broadsword as a prophetic act of authority over all darkness on that island. And as I'm running up, I had Dr. Morocco on my cell phone on speaker. And he said, "Pastor Daniel, listen to me. Stop doing what you're doing and listen." And so I stop. I'm like, "I'm listening," holding my phone. He said, "Understand what you're doing right now." I said, "Okay." He said, "Are you listening?" I'm like, "Listening." It was the end of a very long fast. And he said, "What you're doing is you're enforcing the finished work of Jesus. You have no power and authority outside of that. But as someone who's cleansed by the blood, like a police officer has authority in the place that he serves, a jurisdiction, you have authority to take authority over that darkness because of what Jesus has done. Do you understand?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You're declaring that you know that the devil knows that you have power because of what Jesus has done." That is a key to spiritual warfare. Not like, "I'm gonna take you on." I don't even like mimicking what would be so stupid and how to destroy your life. Go ahead, pick a fight with the devil. I promise you, you lose horribly apart from God. But with God, you have authority. Jesus has authority, and he exposes what the demonic power wants to do, which is destroy the pigs. And I affectionately say, this is the first place where you see deviled ham in Scripture. There are powers and principalities. There are rulers over this area. There is darkness that wants to try to stop the church. He wants to get you offended. He wants to get you sidetracked. He wants you to walk around naked and cutting yourself. That's what he wants. He wants you to live in a place of isolation and destruction. But Jesus has come to set you free. He's come to set you free. Oh, how Jesus changes everything. That's why we do what we do. Something happened on Friday night. You get 700 guys together and the gospel's preached and hundreds recommit and give their lives to Jesus. I promise you, old Diablo Clubfoot, the ugly one, he's not happy about that and he can't do one stinking thing about it unless you let him. Jesus changed the man. Anybody been changed? Verse 15. In one encounter, Jesus set this man free. He changed the man. And there's, you see that he's clothed. It's a picture of his, he's not naked anymore. Come on, somebody say he ain't naked. Yeah, he's clothed, the text says. It's a picture of his dignity being restored. He's in his right mind. He's what? He's in his right mind. His sanity is restored. He's no longer crazy. He's no longer demonized. And you see that he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. To sit at the feet of Jesus is to sit at the feet of a rabbi. It's a picture of right relationship with God. It's a picture of discipleship. It's powerful. Jesus doesn't just clean people up. He raises them up. Let me say that again. Jesus doesn't just clean people up. He raises them up. I used to hear voices and see stuff all the time. I didn't even know personally that that was odd. So I'm going to tell you, if you hear voices and see dark figures, that ain't right. It's demonic. Some of you choked out in your bed. You have the mattress up around you. You wake up like you can't breathe. You can't say anything. Practice saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And some of those times in the early years of my salvation, many, many years ago, 30 plus years ago, be lying there pressed down in my bed, fear all over me, and I can't speak. I literally can't open my mouth to say anything. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, I'd start thinking, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And finally it comes out of my mouth, Jesus, boom, the whole thing would break. And I started realizing, man, I was tormented. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I will tell you that this is not taught enough. And as a result, you've got people that are demonized and bound, naked, bleeding, tortured. That's not God's will, say it. It's not God's will. And he doesn't just clean you up. He'll clean you up and raise you up. That's what he did with Pastor Karen. Should have seen her, man. She was a pot. She was a mess. How many of you got cleaned up and raised up? Lift your hand to Jesus. There's demonic power. You need to teach it. You need to understand it and realize. Look what Jesus did. What does he do? He takes this guy and won't let him follow him. He instantly wants to follow him, but you know what happens? He becomes the first missionary to the Gentile world. Once he's set free, once the most demonized man in the region becomes the missionary to the region. Isn't that like God? Isn't that just like God? You were the scapegoat in your family, and God's now setting you free, and he's raising you up so that you would be a trumpet and a trophy of his grace. God will save somebody and use them, come on, to touch a whole city. My, my. God's speaking to us very simply this morning. You'll notice in the text, the people with the 2,000 pigs, they lost their herd. It's a lot of money. It's a Gentile area. The Decapolis is a Gentile area, so we can perhaps assume they're not Jews raising pigs. They were Gentiles. But they're not happy, and they want Jesus to leave. So let me ask you, will you accept or reject the deliverer in your life? Will you accept or reject the deliverer in our lives? Will you do that? Because Jesus wants to reach people. He wants to reach people. He wants to use your story to reach people. I mean, the whole thing Friday night, I mean, listening to Willie, I had no idea that Duck Dynasty was the most watched cable television show in the history of cable television. And it's really powerful because his father, I mean, think about his father. His father in Mark 5, he was like the modern hillbilly version of Mark 5. Now, he wasn't in the tombs, but he was in the woods lying on a log. Wanted by the law. His life was over. And somehow, because a man came and shared Jesus with him in a bar, I don't know, it was a couple years before, is that right? All of a sudden, he realized he needed God, he needed forgiveness. He comes to his senses and he walks back to his house. His wife's like, oh no, here he comes. But he had tears, hot tears coming down his face. I need to find that preacher. I need to find out what it's all. And he got gloriously born again. He got set free from demonic bondage, from alcoholism. He got delivered. And that was the beginning of Duck Dynasty. And all his kids know the Lord. And someone went to seminary, I guess, too. So here we are listening to a young man. He's born in 70-something, so he's younger than me. Testify about how Jesus set him free and all that God has done. And he's sharing, he's converting people. Jesus wants to use your story. Now, if you don't have one, stick around. Keep coming. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Respond. Do you want the deliverer in your life? Do you want Jesus to set you and your whole family free? Please say yes. Yes. Well, I'm already set free. Are you? You sure? You know, that's an ongoing thing. I don't know about you, but I'm finding in my own life, as the longer I walk with Jesus, he begins to say that attitude right there, that one, that. I'm like, oh, that. He's like, yeah, that. You got to deal with that, son. All right. It's a process of sanctification. And I'm not living in the tombs, but I'm going to tell you, the enemy wants to get, he wants to get dead stuff in you. He wants you to begin to focus on and yield to your flesh. He wants you to get over and open up a door for the enemy to come and find a way to manipulate you and hurt you and wound you. And it happens all the time. Am I yelling? I haven't even begun to yell. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. He wants to use your story to preach to people, to reach people. Oh, help us to do it, God. And you know what's amazing? Of all the times I've read this, I just never followed it through. Mark 7, now some time goes by because we're meeting Mark 5, so you can go and read this. Some time goes by. In Mark 7, it says, and again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of, well, where's Decapolis? That's where he dropped off the first missionary Gentile. The Gentile, first missionary to the Gentiles, this guy, Legion, that was his place, Decapolis. And what happens? They brought him one who was deaf. What about the people that want to drive him out? Now, I think that his story is told all around that Deca's 10 cities. I think his story is told all around those 10 cities. And as a result, they begin to bring people to Jesus. Don't tell them to run away. They begin to bring people to the Lord. This guy's deaf. This guy's hurting. This guy's broken. And that's where he feeds the 4,000. Is it possible that if this Legion, we don't even know his name, but he was Legion and got set free, doesn't follow Jesus, he goes and tells everybody what happened to him, his story. He tells his story, and now a couple chapters later, Jesus brings in a great harvest of souls of people getting healed and saved. You know what I think? I think Junior Boy, the former Legion, was used by God. God wants us to reach people. And there are territorial spirits at work that fight against God's plan. Don't be ignorant of it. You don't have to highlight it and make a banner and elevate the work of the devil. He's created and one day he's going to be uncreated. Some people are so afraid of the devil. Said, aren't you afraid of the devil? Absolutely, emphatically, no. But I'm also not dumb. I might have fallen off a turnip truck, but it wasn't yesterday. I understand that he has power when I believe or yield to him, then he has power. He has no power to touch those who stay under the covering of the blood of Jesus and walk rightly before God and live a lifestyle of repentance. But when God puts his finger on that attitude, perhaps that anger problem or that lust problem or that issue that you're having, and he puts his finger on it, and then you just reject it, and you just reject it, and you reject him, and you start making a place for that, and you start making it a little bit bigger, and then you start catering to it, and before you know it, you're up in the middle of the night with your phone doing secret things that your wife doesn't know about or your husband doesn't know about. Can I preach in here? And then you keep doing that, and then what ends up happening is that the enemy moves in to bind you. Now, let me say, I'm a Christian. Christians can't have a devil. Let me just tell you what a preacher once said. Christians can have everything, anything they want. And if you give place, the issue is, can you sin? Can a Christian sin? Little children, keep yourselves from idols, 1 John. If a Christian can sin, then a Christian can open the door for the enemy. So, well, I mean, a Baptist would say, no offense to all my Baptist brethren. A Baptist would say, well, they're not really born again because they were born. Oh, really? I mean, I guess we'll figure that out when we get to heaven. I would say don't give place to the devil, because place is topos. You all have a topo map? Anybody know any hunters out there? You know what a topo mass elevation? Don't give topos a place to the devil. And if you give a place to him, he sets up his hunting camp, and soon he's going to summit you, and you're going to be destroyed. Lift your hands to heaven at this wonderful, ear-tickling message you're hearing this morning. Father, thank you. Set us free and use us, oh God, to do it. It's my next point. Jesus wants to use us to see others set free. And lastly, I'll just say, you can be changed and delivered from everything. How do you know that? Because I see it in the Word. And I don't just see it in the Word. I'm living it. I've been set free from everything. You say, that's kind of arrogant. I think it's confidence. I think it's boldness. And I also am aware that I'm going to live free because I'm not going to give a topos. I'm not going to give place to the enemy and live in agreement and communion with others. My beautiful wife, she helped me this past week. I had some attitudes. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. Some of you got an attitude right now. So you repent, you live this ongoing lifestyle of repentance, and you be bold. Be bold. You know, when you you won that 10 mil gun, you guaranteed. You know, you text your brother who hunts for the dude. I won a 10 mil, bro. Oh, really? Where? Oh yeah, I told you, I invited you to come. Maybe you could have won it. Maybe you were gonna get the plane if you came, but you didn't come. When you win something, how many of you like won something recently, or something happened? It's like you got a raise, or there's some sort of promotion, or something that was exciting that happened. I caught that beautiful plane taking off, and I really enjoy Super Cubs. They're just, and that thing was fresh. Well, so does my son. So what do you think I did? I tried to get him on FaceTime and show it to him live while I flew up, but he was busy and whatever. But I sent him the video. Dude. Ooh, awesome. He texted me back. Bro, wow. Then we talked and I told him, oh man, the thing was clean. I mean, I looked on the inside of it. I saw a blade of grass. It was like the only dirt that was in that thing. I picked it up. I'm like, grass, wow. And he's like, whoa, really? How much horsepower? How big were the bush tires? And we're like, When Jesus touches you, when Jesus sets you free, when Jesus sets you free, you can't help but talk about the big tires, big props, awesome, 10 mil. And if you don't talk like that about your Jesus, you might not have met him yet. You might not have experienced him as a deliverer. He will set you free from your opinion of yourself, and he'll set you free from from other people's opinion. He'll fill you so full of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you won't give a flip. You won't give a fig Newton. You won't give a fig about what people think. And you'll walk in this place of freedom and joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll lift your head. You'll no longer be a man pleaser. You'll no longer live for the applaud of or the accolades of man. You'll begin to live and worship for the audience of one, and he will raise you up. God is raising up a company of people that are free. Yes, from nakedness. Yes, from perversion. Yes, from death. Yes, from overt rebellion and hedonism. Yes, from all of those things. Setting them free from that, falling in love with him, and not going to some remote place, but beginning to move in their own Decapolis right here. Wherever you are, Willow, Homer, Wasilla, Chugiak, Palmer, Wasilla. Did I say Wasilla again? I said it again. Wherever you are, he begins to raise you up. We're gonna have an outpouring. Lift your hands to heaven. I'm just about done. We're gonna have an outpouring. It's even beginning now. You might have missed the other meetings where people were set free and delivered, but you're here tonight. You're here right now. You're here this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you're going through, you begin to talk to God about it. Come on, right now. You might not be legion, or maybe you are. Maybe you have a whole host of stuff. Maybe you are addicted. Maybe you are steeped in perversion and addicted to pornography, maybe. Maybe you're so filled with greed and anger and lust that it's just like that's all you think about. If you think about death and you think about sex and be naked, but listen, children's church is over there. If you're locked into that, I'm telling you, you've got some demonization going on. You've got some problems. You're thinking about violence. You close your eyes and you see all kinds of, I'm not even going to paint the picture. I know what that is. Thank God I've got peace like a river and joy like a fountain. I got peace like a river and joy. I got joy like a fountain. Ooh, you set me free. Ooh, you set me free. Yeah. You set me free. You set me free. You took out the heart of stone and you put in the heart of flesh. You delivered me. You've delivered hundreds and hundreds of other people here as well. I said, why would you take so much time? Because it's only 10:19. And I'm trying to press it so that you could be set free and know that there's hope for you. There's hope for you. I had somebody say, and if you think I'm talking to you, I am. I've had somebody say to me, you know, I like my sin. I said, yeah, but when it's full blown, it brings forth death. I said, yeah, but I like it. And it's working good for me right now. Let me tell you that I know stories of people that said the same thing and then parts of their body like fell off. That's all I'm gonna say about that. You don't want parts of your body to fall off. Can I get an amen? How come, why are parts of my body falling? He was trying to get your attention. You moved outside the covering of God and now you got something you don't want. You can't get rid of it. Why are you crying, Pastor Karen? Oh, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Why are you crying, sweetheart?
I'm just remembering I was one of the most tormented people that you would ever meet. And I had those devils pushing me down in my bed. I forgot until you started talking about it. And I've been set free from torment. Come on. And devils pushing me down in my bed. I mean, I've just been set free. I'm so grateful.
I am too. Never forget where God came, brought. brought you from. Never forget it. Never forget. You say, well, I've never done any of that. Okay, what have you done? You bring it to God. Let God heal you. Let God set you free. Let him make his home in you. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and let God use you like he used this guy. How Jesus changed everything. You know, it's fascinating. He changed in this man, set him free, and then he sent him to go tell everybody. That is how it works. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. I'm done. Father, thank you. Thank you. If you're here tonight, today, and you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, you want to make a recommitment to him. All across this place, our church is in India. All across the Philippines, right here in this great sanctuary. It'll be one of the last things we do this morning. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, do it now. You want to recommit your life, do it. Do it now. Don't wait. He died on a cross. He rose again from the grave. Don't let anybody cheat you through philosophy, vain tradition, rudiments of the world, the philosophy. To cheat you from the simplicity of Christ. I mean, all kinds of 10-step, 12-step programs. You know what the one step is? Jesus was crucified. He rose again. You need to kill your old man, spiritually speaking, and get born again. You need to be made new. Some of you received Jesus, but you still have this dead, tomb-like thinking and behavior. You need to drive that out by the finger of God. Father, thank you for these. If that's you, you want to receive Jesus, lift a hand to heaven. You say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Pray with me right out loud. Come on, right out loud. There'll be hundreds of people praying with us. Come on, right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to forgive me, to cleanse me, and set me free from every bondage. Take your home in my heart and help me to live for you. Fill me full of your Spirit and use me for the purpose for which I was created. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.